Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles there, go ahead and look with me to the book of John in chapter 18. John in chapter 18. And of course, Wednesday nights, we've been in our Bible study on the life of the Apostle Peter. And what a blessing it has been just to study what the Bible has recorded concerning the life of Peter from the time that he got saved and met the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been being discipled by Jesus Christ. And so that's what we've been studying here in the Gospels is Jesus discipling Peter. There's much more after the Gospels in the book of Acts, and we'll find more of what Peter will be accomplishing as Christ was preparing him to accomplish what he was going to be accomplishing in that apostolic age and in the book of Acts. And so we're looking forward to that. But right now, it's the time in Peter's life. It's the worst night of Peter's life. The worst night of Peter's life. So much has happened to Peter on this night that we have been studying. The Bible records much about that when he first of all went to be able to the upper room to prepare the place where Jesus and the disciples would observe the Passover. And during the time that they were eating there, and then of course it led into Jesus establishing the communion for the local New Testament church, and what a blessing we find all that. So many other things took place. Judas was revealed as a traitor before the other apostles, and all the things were taking place. And now we find here in John and chapter 18 that Peter will do what Jesus told him that he would do, and that would be that he would deny Jesus before the people. He would deny Jesus three times before the cock would crow. And so we find that is what we'll be studying tonight here in John chapter 18. So if you want to stand, go ahead and do that. If you're in your home there, you can stand in front of your television and read the Word of God with me tonight. John chapter 18. Now we're going to be reading 10-11, verse 15 to 17, then 25 to 27, because we're studying the life of Peter, so we want to see it as Peter saw things, as Peter was affected by what was taking place on this night. And so John chapter 18 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servants and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword unto thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Drop down to verse 15. "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Now look down to verse 25. "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it, and he said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord God, and thank you again for this opportunity to study your word and for all that are viewing through live stream. God, I pray that you would just meet with each one wherever they're at, opening up their hearts and their minds to what you have for them. I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So this worst night in Peter's life, it would end with Peter's denial of Jesus, whom he had revealed to so many before this time as being his Lord, the Christ, even the Son of the living God. That's what Peter had said about who Jesus was. If you remember last week and right before this, we find that Jesus took Peter to the garden with him and asked Peter to watch and pray. He asked Peter to watch and pray with him, but Peter slept. Peter did not take Jesus' words serious enough. And it led to what he has just done here that we have read about in denying the Lord three different times. Can I tell you that one of the things we need to learn from this is that we need to take serious the words of God. As we look to the Bible, there's nothing else like it. It's the inerrant, eternal words of God. And as we read it and study it, when we hear it preached, we need to listen intently. And we need to learn what God would have us to learn so that we might not make some of the very same mistakes that the Apostle Peter would make even in that very same night. So the first time we find here in John chapter 18 and verse 10-11, when Peter is now waking up and they, as they get about and Jesus is now looking to address them, we find that Peter finds Judas, who Jesus had revealed as being a traitor, coming upon them with the band of men. And many believe that there was probably around 400 to 500 people all together that had came out to arrest the Lord. And Peter reacts to Judas and the band of men coming to arrest Jesus. And we find here that Peter pulled out the sword. Now, they only had a couple swords amongst them, but Peter had the one. And we find that Peter actually was ready to fight, and he cut one of the ears of one of the servant's ears off. And Peter, seeing this multitude of men coming out against the Lord, knowing that there was just 12 of them with the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter was willing to die. The very same night that he would betray him three times, before he would betray him three times, Peter was willing to fight and to die as he pulled out the sword. But this was not God's will. If Peter had been listening more intently to what Jesus had been trying to reveal to Peter and to teach Peter, he could have saved himself a lot of heartache. Even though he was willing to die, this was not God's will for him to die. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, we find here, this is recorded in all four of the Gospels to a certain extent, but Matthew 26, it gives us a lot of insight into this very same events in Peter's life. In Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 51 with me. The Bible says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword," talking about Peter here, when they come to arrest Jesus, "and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father?" Now this is what Jesus is telling Peter. We know that Jesus is addressing Peter because Peter was the one, according to John's account, who actually cut off the ear and was willing to die. But he says to Peter, he says, trying to get Peter his thinking to click in, based upon what he had already taught him and told him that would take place at this time. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently, right now, Peter, give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Now, I hope you're following that, because when Peter's doing this, Jesus is able to give him final instructions here. And he says, Peter, get your mind where it needs to be. I know you're willing to do this and all the, you told me you're willing to die and you're proving it, but that is not my will for your life. That is not God's purpose in all of this. If you had just been listening, if you had understood more of what I wanted you to understand, you'd realize I'm laying my life down. No man can take my life. I could have called multitudes of angels, if that would have been God's will. Wow, that's powerful stuff right there. Because Peter, willing to die. But God says, Peter, I don't want you to die. I've got more important things for you to do in this life. When I went through my heart surgery and all that was taking place there, I was ready to go. I'd sensed the presence of God. I sensed heaven. I knew it to be real. And if I'd had my will at that time, I would have gone on to glory to be with the Lord. But that was not God's will. Something even that at that time I had peace about, that I would wanted to have experienced that even then, but it's not God's will. And if it's not God's will, then that's not what I need to be thinking. My thinking needs to be whatever it is that God would have me to do. And Jesus had prepared Peter for that, but Peter had not taken the words of Christ as seriously as he ought to. Now, he will after this. And we'll get into a lot of things that Peter was able to accomplish because of he took the word of God seriously. And he focused more on God's will than on what he would want to do with his life. Peter did not, as of yet, as of this time, fully understand what Jesus had been teaching him. Romans in chapter 12. Because this relates to us as well in our everyday lives, what we're facing from day to day, how we deal with other people. Sometimes we get focused on how I want to handle things instead of God's will for me in handling things. Romans in chapter 12, the Bible says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you." That means everything that you have, all of the strength that you can muster up, everything that you can possibly lean on to help you, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Yeah, even that hard to work with coworker, even that in-law or outlaw, whoever they might be, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Do we have a tendency to want to do that? Yes. If somebody tells you they don't, then something's wrong there. I'd hate to say that they're lying to you, but maybe they're just blinded to it. No one wants to sit back and let people take advantage of them. But the Bible says, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. God says, I don't want you to think that vengeance is yours, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I will deal with it. I will handle it. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, God says, my will for you, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, now understand this, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Understanding what he's saying there, in so doing you are giving him a testimony of Christ. In so doing you are living different than the world. In so doing you're helping that individual to realize there's something different with you. And if they do not see Christ in you and repent of what they have done and get saved through that, then they are going to die and go to a devil's hell. And they will have coals of fire on their head. They will live in eternity in a devil's hell. But if you do what God would have you to do, it might just be that your testimony is what they need to see to receive Jesus Christ and get saved. And then they would no longer be an enemy, but they would be a co-worker. They would be a helper in the cause of Christ. And can I tell you, that is the will of God. That might not be our will. That might not be the way that we're thinking if we're thinking on our own. But when we turn our thinking over to God's thinking, then this is the will of God. He says, bringing it all together, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good, with what I'm telling you, if you will. You see, we must always act out of obedience to Christ. Peter, so what? Yeah, you're willing to die, but that's not what Jesus had prepared you for. He was not preparing you for these 3.5 years once you got saved to die trying to defend him from going to the cross and doing what God had sent him here and what he volunteered to come to do. He would be the sacrificial lamb because he would desire to pay the sin debt so that he would be able to offer eternal life to all who would believe. You're willing to die, but that was not God's will for your life. Four rules of biblical communication. One of the four rules is in having right communications is we never react to what other people do to us. We focus on being all that God wants us to be in that relationship, no matter what the other person does. That is acting according to God's will for your life. And there's no one but you that can control you to act as God would have you to act in any and every relationship of life. Police officers are trained. I've seen different clips of police officers pulling over people that, I mean, it's crazy. Some of the things that they have to deal with and what people are upset for them to pull them over and how the abuse that they receive. And that shows in the clips I'm thinking of, it shows the police officer just being very mild and calm and saying, here, have this ticket, good day, and walking away. Can I tell you that that policeman in his nature did not want to respond that way? But because he was trained to realize who he represented. No matter how big that individual in that car would have been or how small he would have been, he has a gun to make sure that there's not someone too big in there that's going to overpower him or whatever it might be. But he has a gun, and he has more than that. He has a badge that is represented the law. And he is there to uphold the law. He's not there to respond to what that individual says to him and take it personally, because he's there to represent the law. Every soldier is trained. They have to go through something they call boot camp. Now, I have never been through boot camp, but I have heard of a lot of stories of people going through boot camp, and I've seen the different pictures of those soldiers being trained in boot camp, and they get that sergeant that gets right in their face, and he is in their face and telling them exactly what they're going to do and the way that they're going to do it, and they better had to sit there and hear what he had to say. They're trained to discipline themselves and to respond the way a soldier is supposed to respond. Because they're not representing themselves. They're representing the United States of America. Believers should be trained. How are we trained? By understanding the Word of God. By knowing how God would have us to respond. How God would have us to represent Jesus Christ as ambassadors. Tell you what, I've been out on soul winning many a times where I've had the door slammed in my face. I've had to sit there and listen to people say things that in my flesh I would have put my fist through the door, grabbed them, but that would have defeated the purpose. Can I tell you that we're not in the world, first of all, representing ourselves? We're in the world representing Christ. Representing Christ is far more important than vengeance and being able to show who's the toughest and being able to show who's willing to even lay down their lives. Peter, you pull out a sword and you go against 500 soldiers. I'm not applauding that, because that is not what Jesus prepared you for. That was not his will for your life. That is not what he wanted you to do. He wanted you to represent him. Peter reacted the way he wanted to. And he was rebuked more than once, several times leading up to this. Our prayer might need to sound something like this. Lord, help me to say what you want to have said. Help me to respond in such a way that they see you instead of me. Can I tell you, as a pastor, I do that every Saturday night. I prepare myself. And the way I prepare myself is to realize people don't need to hear what I have to say. God, I need to say what you want to have said. Strengthen me to say it the way you want to have it said. Look over to Acts chapter 5. I'm going to give you just a sneak preview of what Peter will eventually, and I believe through this, learn to do this, what he would do. We'll be studying this later on in Peter's life, but Acts in chapter 5. In verse 29, Peter was being persecuted. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." If you drop down, verse 40, in that very same chapter, it says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." I think all that Jesus had tried to teach Peter, at some point, finally, bore fruit. "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus." Jesus, what would you have to be said through me? Jesus, what kind of testimony would you have people to see in me? Wow. Yeah. Go back with me, because we find here that Peter had to go through this most miserable night in his life to get to where he would eventually be. In John chapter 18, in verse 15, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And the disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple." There was another saved individual here that knew the high priest and knew the guard, which was a woman of the high priest, that had to get through her to be able to get into the court where they were going to try Jesus. "And Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter." Now, did you get that part of it? What happened here is Peter, and we're going to see that he was following afar off, but then the opportunity was that he would be able to go into the high priest's court where they would hold Jesus. And so through this other disciple who knew this woman, then he was able to talk to her and allow Peter, because the only ones that's going to be there were supporting crucifying Christ. And yet we find that those that are supporting crucifying Christ, we find Peter in the very midst with them. That's what's taking place. That's what the Bible's telling us about Peter, and brought in Peter. So now he knows this woman has let him in, thinking that he was there to support crucifying Christ. "Then said the damsel," the one that let Peter in, "that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" Now, are you understanding what's taking place here? This is in a crowd of those that wanted to crucify Christ. They were not believers. They were not Christ supporters. They were not Republicans. Oh, I better not say that. But anyway, he was in that crowd. And that woman that allowed him to come in was the one that asked him. The first time he would deny Christ would be to this woman. "I am not." Matthew chapter 26, go back over there with me. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 70. Verse 69 says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." This is that woman that we find John was the keeper of the door. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Said, you got me mixed up with somebody else. I know what you're thinking here, because I do not know him. The second time, if you look here, Matthew 26, verse 71. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied, but this time with an oath, I do not know. And he calls him the man. He didn't call him the Christ. Didn't call him his Lord. Didn't call him the Son of the living God. That's who he had earlier said that he was. The second came with an oath. What does that mean? It means that he said something like, I promise you, I don't know him. I'm not lying. I promise you that I'm not the person you think I am. I'm not the one that you've seen with Jesus. I am not one of his disciples. That's what he said the second time. You see, the longer you stay, the more callous you'll become to the conviction of saying and doing right. When you're amongst that crowd and you put yourself in a place of temptation, the longer you stay. The more calloused, the greater depth of sin. The longer you stay, the more callous you become, and the more callous you become, the greater depth of sin. The third time would be even more concerning. Matthew chapter 26, verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Now, in the book of John, in chapter 18, let me just read this to you because this goes hand in hand with what was just said. John chapter 18 and verse 26, the Bible says this. It says, and one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman whose ear Peter cut off. Peter knew that this man was next to the man that saw him take out his sword and swing it to cut off the guy's head and cut off his ear. Peter knows this man. Peter knows that this man knows him. He saw him. So in order for him to try to convince that he might just be a lookalike or whatever it might be, Peter had gone so far that now he begins to curse and to swear. The cursing then would have not been maybe some of the words that we would look to as cursing today. But to curse, to distance himself from Jesus being the Son of God, many believe, as I do, that he would use God's name in vain. why do you believe that? Because Satan wants humanity to curse God. When Satan was able to afflict Job, he wanted him to curse God. Satan worked through Job's wife to tell Job to curse God and die. In Exodus chapter 20, we find the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments, and one of the Ten Commandments was, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." I guarantee you, Satan was well at work in Peter's heart and mind, and Satan was trying to get Peter and accomplish getting Peter to take the name of the Lord, his God, in vain. You see, even today, people are more apt to use the name of Jesus in a cursing. Even those that don't even know who Jesus is will use the name of Jesus as a curse word and not even realize it. People use God's name all the time and they use it in vain, as in cursing, instead of looking to God as Lord of their lives and as a great creator that he is. And they would rather, Satan will use this as opportunity to curse God, and people will start using the name of God in vain. That goes through me, you know, and that is one of the curse words, a language that they allow on Prime TV. Can't believe that. It might keep them from using a cuss word, but they can use the name of God in vain and use it as a cuss word for people to have to listen to. That's the reality of the devil. Most don't even know it. And yet they continue to use the name of Jesus in vain. So we find here that it's what Peter did. But then in closing, Matthew chapter 26, the book of Matthew in chapter 26, and verse 74 and verse 75. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately, the cock crew. And Matthew writes in verse 75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus." See, what got him in the place that he's in is he didn't take it seriously. And now he finds him in a place where he never would have believed he could be. And he remembered Jesus had been trying to teach him and to tell him things all along, which said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now, Peter's final denial affirms Christ's words to Peter. Peter's response to the conviction that would overwhelm him would be exactly what Jesus would want. I love that. His response to the conviction of now understanding, and now knowing that Jesus had tried to prepare him for what he was to face. The first thing he did, and he went out. Now, I love that. He went out. He realized where he was at, he shouldn't be. He was following Jesus afar. That means that the Bible says that he didn't understand really what was going on. He didn't know for sure that he believed at that point, and he was confused in his mind, and he put himself in a place of temptation where he was around the wrong crowd, and he was around everyone else who wanted to crucify Jesus. And that pressure was on him to fit into that crowd. And in fitting into that crowd, he had to deny the Lord. And he denied the Lord to the place that he used his name in vain. And then the conviction came because the word of Christ was revealed to Peter through the crowing of the cock. It all came together. The Spirit of God was convicting him like he had never been convicted before. And the first thing he did, he left the crowd. He went out. You see, we need to leave sin and all the temptations. You see, well, preacher, drugs and alcohol and this and that. Yes, cold turkey, you just need to stop. You don't need to try to wing yourself off of it. You need to realize that what you're doing is sin against God, and you need to turn away from it and turn away from the crowd, get out of that situation, get out of the place of temptation, and stop doing what you know is wrong. With God's help, you can leave that and stop and start doing right. He went out. And as he went out, he wept bitterly. Tears of sorrow for what he was guilty of. He acknowledged his guilt. And there was tears of sorrow. This was a broken heart. David talks about a broken heart in Psalms 51:17. That God's looking for a sorrow, contrite, broken heart. See, when he started weeping bitterly, he realized what he did to Christ. He was thinking of Jesus and how he had failed him. The worst night of Peter's life would get Peter turned around to be a truly dedicated servant of God. He would never take Jesus' words for naught again. Some would say that if he had to go through that to get to where he needed to be, then praise God for it. I don't know that I'd want to have to go through a night like that. But I know I want to be where God wants me to be. So whatever it takes, I want God's will for my life. I trust that that's where we're at tonight. On this Wednesday night Bible study and looking at the life of Peter, that's what it actually comes down to. Peter went through all of that to finally get it settled in his heart and his mind. People don't need to hear what I have to say. They don't need to see me. They need to see Christ in me. And I need to say what God wants me to say. And that'll make the difference. Praise the Lord for lessons learned from the Apostle Peter. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know just how God might have spoke to you through this study and the event, this event in Peter's life. This was a life-changing event for Peter. This is one that he would never forget. And he would learn so much. It helped him to finally understand everything that Jesus had taught him, everything Jesus had prepared him for. left, got alone, wept bitterly. I can just imagine the confession and the forsaking of sin to have a restored relationship with his Savior. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of the word that we've studied. I pray, God, that you take it now and apply it to however we need to have it applied. If there's someone listening, I pray, God, if they're lost, that they get saved tonight. If they're living in sin, they would confess and forsake the sin. God, whatever the need, I pray that you would use it to help people to make the decisions that you want them to make, even tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.